And let us begin. Parashat Kitisa, a loaded parasha, after a couple of weeks of discussing the Mishkan and the Kelim of the Mishkan and the Bigdei Kehuna, now we're going to get back onto, you know, to the storylines that happen in Sefer Shemot with Parashat Kitisa. It opens with the Chet HaEgel, opens with Shekalim, goes into the Chet HaEgel for the majority of the parasha. The first two aliyot actually make up most of the parasha. 90-something pesukim, the first two aliyot. The rest of the parasha is only a few more pesukim, right? It's very, very lopsided. If you want to find someone to read the parasha, tell them, listen, take the first two aliyot, it's not a big deal. The rest I'll take care of, no problem. Hopefully someone's going to fall for that trick, because I actually need someone to read the parasha this week. So we'll see what happens. But anyways, that's that. In addition to that, Parashat Kitisa is almost always read in close proximity to Purim. So let's open up with Purim and then segue into the parasha. Says the Megillah about the King Ahasuerus, says about him, Keshevet HaMelech Al Kiseh Malchuto. I believe that's a pasuk. Keshevet is literally translated Keshevet HaMelech, when the king was sitting on his royal throne, Al Kiseh Malchuto. That's the literal translation. However, when the Chaf precedes a word, it's called the Chaf HaDimyon. Ke could also mean like or similar to. Just like what? The Ari HaKadosh says, there's Purim and there's Yom Kippurim, right? And which one is on a more elevated level, says the Ari HaKadosh? Purim is. How do we know? Because there's Purim and there's Kippurim. Like Purim. Meaning what? It strives to be like Purim. But it's not actually Purim. It's the Chaf HaDimyon. When the Chaf precedes the word, it says it's compared. It strives to be like this other thing, but it's not the other thing. So perhaps we could read this pasuk with the King Ahasuerus. It says, "Keshevet HaMelech Al Kiseh Malchuto," almost as if he is sitting on his royal throne. Is he really? No, he's not. What's the backstory to this pasuk? So we know that the King Ahasuerus literally gave up everything he had in order to imitate the throne of who? Shlomo HaMelech. He wanted to sit on a throne, not just a throne. He wanted to sit on the throne of all thrones, the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, and he tried to, there's a story in the Midrashim about him trying to replicate it, and he wasn't able to. What was his whole being in life? He was trying to attain status. That was the King Ahasuerus. He was never happy with what he had. He tried to attain this elevated, lofty status to be like Shlomo HaMelech. He had this obsession with copying the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. That's what he was all about. And honestly, that's what a king is. What's a king? A king, you would think, someone who has all the money in the world, someone who has all the fame in the world, all the kavod in the world, you would think that a king would have peace, would have serenity, would be able to chill for his entire life. But what's a king usually busy with? Occupying more land, and more control, and more honor, and more respect. Wasn't happy with what he had. He had an obsession with this world, with worldly matters. King Ahasuerus. This world, if you think about it, is a temporary world. We're all guests in this world. We're here for a number of days, years, and that's about it. We're traveling through this world. And whenever we're traveling, whenever we're guests, you can't have true peace. You're on vacation. You can't have true peace. After a while, after a couple of days, no matter how amazingly fun, relaxing, comfortable, luxurious the vacation is, at the end of the day, you want to get back home. It's always like that. When you're on that flight on the way back home after the most amazing vacation, the cruise or a 5-star hotel, you're always like, what? There's nothing like home. I can't wait to get back home. Why? Because you can't fully relax when you're a guest, when you're not at home, when you're traveling. In this world, we're guests. We're traveling through this world. There's a story with the Chafetz Chaim. Any story you hear about the Chafetz Chaim is a legendary story. There are most amazing stories. A story about the Chafetz Chaim that a wealthy person came to see him. And he commented to the Chafetz Chaim, listen, it's not respectful. You're the Gadol Ador, you're the greatest rabbi of the generation. It's not mechubad that you're living in such a tiny closet. Your living space is not, forget about the fact that it's not nice and it's small, you can barely fit in there, it's not convenient, but it's not respectful for a person of your stature to be living there. Answered the Chafetz Chaim with his sharp, sharp, sharp mind. What did he say? He told him, listen, you probably, wherever you live, wherever it is, miles away, you probably live in a nice, comfortable, large, and luxurious home. Now you're traveling, and you're a guest. You're traveling through my town. I'm sure the place that you're staying in is not as luxurious as your actual home is. You know why that is? Because you're not here long term, you're here temporarily. You're here for a couple of days, then you're going to go back home. He said, for me, this world is temporary. I'm not home. This world is temporary. Olam Hazeh is temporary. I'm passing through this world. So it makes sense that I'm living in a small space, just like you are when you're traveling. Sharp. That's a Chafetz Chaim. Understood what this world's all about. Some people in this world, they're chasing and chasing and chasing after money, after fame, after status. And they think that eventually, one day, they're going to reach this time that what? That they're going to be able to have peace. They're going to be able to relax. The Pasuk disagrees. The Pasuk says, Ohev kesef lo yisba kesef. Someone who loves money will never be satisfied with the amount of money that he has. It won't happen. So many people will tell you, listen, I'm going to invest my younger years in order to make, you know, those first millions. I'll make that million or a couple of millions. I'll invest, make that money. I'll buy my properties. And then I'll live off of that and I'll relax. No one ends up doing that. Doesn't happen. You know why it doesn't happen? Because when you have an obsession with money, you will never be relaxed. Because you're always going to want more. It's never going to be enough. Never going to be enough. One property, you need another one. And then another one. You're never going to be happy. Because this world, Olam Hazeh, is temporary. And one cannot relax in this world when he's focusing on worldly matters. When he's focusing on Olam Hazeh type things, it won't happen. Kishevet HaMelech al kiseh malchuto. He imagined it was an illusion. He pretended that he's actually sitting on a royal throne. He wasn't. You know why he wasn't? He wasn't happy with what he had. That's not true royalty. When you're trying to be like another king. When you're not happy with what you have. When you're not relaxing. It was an illusion. It was only kishevet. He wasn't actually sitting. It was as if he was sitting. So some people, they have a lot of money, and that's all they're worried about. They're not actually relaxing. They're not actually enjoying life. It's as if they're enjoying life. It's kishevet. Only as if. It seems like they are. The grass is always greener on by the Joneses. Right? The neighbor who has a nice fancy car, fancy house. It looks like he's in a good place. Far from it. Now, I'm not encouraging poverty in any way. And I'm not encouraging, you know, not making money. It's a good thing to have money. Money is a very, very good thing if you use it right. There are plenty of wealthy individuals that are tzaddikim gemurim. The question is, what's their mentality, what's their attitude when they go and make that money? Is their attitude, I'm money hungry and I need more and more and more and more and more? Or what? No. I've been blessed with a good job, with good opportunities, and I'm going to take advantage of those opportunities. They're amazing opportunities. They fall into my lap. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the right things, you know, puts the right things in my mouth to say to the right people on these business deals. It just happens. And Baruch Hashem, I'm blessed with money. There's an individual, he's Hasidish. He makes a lot of money during the week. On Sunday, he's a coal guy. That means on Sundays, he doesn't have work on Sundays. You see him in the Bet Midrash, it looks like he's a coal guy. He's sitting and learning in Kolel. But not like this rich and spitzy guy who, like, you know, spends a half hour learning, then takes out his smartphone and checks the stocks, and then goes back to learning for another 20 minutes, and then calls his business partner to see what's going on with a shipment from China, and then, you know, learns for another 15 minutes, and then goes out for a coffee break. No, the guy literally learns for hours straight. He wears his, you know, kolel clothing. Okay, why? Because he's able to tune out, he's able to zone out. Why is he able to zone out so easily and transition from working to learning? Because the entire week his mind is not in money. The entire week his mind is in Avodat Hashem, is in spirituality. Yeah, included in spirituality is me having to go make money. But it's all spirituality. And when a person's mind is in spiritual matters, number one, he's going to have a relaxing life. He's going to have true menucha. And number two, he'll be able to transition on a dime to doing actual spiritual things like praying, like learning. Because true menucha in this world, true peace and serenity in this world can only be attained by means of spirituality. Because olam hazeh, this world, worldly matters, will never get you peace, will never get you relaxation. It only has to come by way of spirituality, of spiritual matters. When a person connects to spirituality, in essence, what's he doing? He's connecting to Olam Haba, to another world. And when a person connects to that world, that's the world of complete serenity. That's when he has menucha. That's why the one day a week that we have access to true menucha is what? Shabbat. Why? Because me'en Olam Haba Yom Shabbat Menucha. Shabbat, the Gemara tells us, is me'en olam haba, is a piece of olam haba. You're connecting to another world on Shabbat. That's why you have access to relaxation more so than you do during the week on Shabbat. That's Shabbat. Because Shabbat, you connect to spirituality. You connect it's this intimate closeness and bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You feel Hashem much more. You feel spirituality much more on Shabbat than you do during the week. You're zoning out of worldly matters and connecting to spiritual matters. That's Shabbat. That's a Kedusha of Shabbat. How important is Shabbat? We see that from this week's parasha. It says in this week's parasha, it introduces Shabbat. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael ta Shabbat. We know the pasuk is every Shabbat. And it's put next to the work of the Mishkan, the completion of the Mishkan that we've been discussing. And the reason why it's put next to it is because it teaches us a lesson. As important as building the Mishkan is, it shall not be done on Shabbat. What? If there's any mitzvah that should override Shabbat, it's the building of the Mishkan. Isn't the whole essence of the Mishkan spirituality and connecting to Hashem? It is, but nothing overrides Shabbat. Shabbat is the most important thing. Shabbat is our essence in life. Shabbat is our goal in life, to reach a space of Shabbat, to reach a mentality, to reach a lifestyle of Shabbat, to connect to a lifestyle of spirituality, a lifestyle of Shabbat. And nothing overrides that, even the building of the Mishkan. As we learn all the halachot of what we are and are not allowed to do from this idea of the fact that the Melechet HaMishkan was not allowed to be done on Shabbat. And all the Lametet Malachot and Malachot are learned from what they used to do to build the Mishkan. So that's how we know what we're not allowed to do on Shabbat. Because that's what Shabbat is. Shabbat, you connect to a different world. Shabbat, you connect to Hashem on a whole new level. Shabbat, you experience Hashem on a higher level. That's why whenever you find potential for Kedusha, you find the parallel potential for Tum'ah. Whenever you find potential for greatness, you find the parallel, the equal potential of failure, of devastation. And that's why You see that the minutes right before Shabbat, there is a tremendous energy of tension, of stress, a big yetzer hara of anger, of machloket, of fighting, specifically right before Shabbat. Why is that? So you could explain that in a very practical way. Everyone's stressed out, Shabbat's just about to start, and we need to make sure that the food is cooked, and the lights are turned on or off, and we get dressed and shower, and things, everything like that. Yeah, that's one way to understand it. However, in a deeper way, what's pshat? What's the reason why dafka before Shabbat there's so much tension in the home? It's because on Shabbat there's potential for kedusha, for holiness, for attachment to Hashem, like it doesn't exist during the week. And the opposite is also true. There's equal potential for failure, for machloket. That's why the Yetzer Hara is super strong right before Shabbat, trying to prevent you from reaching this high, elevated level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of attachment to the holiness, to the spirituality that Shabbat has to offer. That's why the Ben Ish Chai says in the Halachot, he says, in the name of the Chidah, that he says the time of Mincha right before Shabbat, meaning that not specifically during Mincha, but the time of Mincha, meaning the afternoon time, okay, is a time that is prone to machloket and to anger, specifically ben ish leishto, between a husband and wife. He says, and a man that is a God-fearing person shall put his guard up and be prepared for anything that comes his way, any yetzara that gets thrown at him, and try to prevent to the best of his ability, try to overcome to the best of his ability, any opportunity to fight. He should seek peace, says the Ben Ish Chai. He says that a person who does so, he is overcoming a very strong temptation of machloket. So why is there such a strong urge to lose your temper, to lose your cool, to get into fights, specifically before Shabbat? What's that all about? Because Shabbat, in essence, is what is closeness to Hashem. What does it mean to be close to Hashem? It means to understand that everything that happens in your life is attributed to Hashem. It means that anything a person says to you, a person does to you, any happening, is from Hashem. So that's why right before Shabbat, there's the exact opposite yetzer hara, trying to get you to forget Hashem, to ignore, to disregard Hashem's involvement in your life. How so? Yetzer hara says, let me try to get him angry. Because how does a person get angry? He forgets Hashem. Because if a person would remember Hashem, he'd understand that what? It's a test. That this person's not really making me angry. He's a nobody. He's a messenger from Hashem. Hashem is trying to test me. And a person would understand that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind this person trying to egg me on and get me upset, he would never get upset. That's why the Gemara tells us, Kol HaKoes Kilu Oved Avodah Zarah. Anyone who gets upset, it's as if he's worshipping idols. What? That's a bit extreme. That's fanatic. Worshipping idols? No way. What's the comparison? It's so, no way. It can't be. It's an exaggeration. No, but the reason, no, it's mamash the same. Because what does Avodah Zarah mean? You disregard Hashem. You ignore Hashem. You put Hashem to the side and you focus on other gods, on other powers, on individuals that have abilities other than Hashem. What happens when you get upset at another person? Exactly the same thing. That's Avodah Zarah. Not literally Avodah Zarah, but figuratively Avodah Zarah. You're basically attributing this person, things to this person. Says the Ben Ish Chai, how do you view a person who's getting you upset? The same way you view a mailman, UPS guy, knocks on the door, gives you an envelope. You open up the envelope, it says you owe the IRS $100,000. Would you punch him in the face? Absolutely not. Why not? He's just a messenger. He's just a messenger. That's all he is. A person that says something, does something that gets you upset, just a messenger. It's a test. That's why Dafka, this is the test in the moments right before Shabbat. Because Shabbat is all about remembering and feeling Hashem in your life. And when a person does that, he's going to reach true peace and true relaxation. When you understand that Gam ki alech begetz al mavet lo irara ki ata imadi, that even when I'm in the most difficult of times, I have no fear. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing right next to me. You feel at ease. You feel peace. You feel comfortable. Two stories, and we'll call it a night. Story number one. There was an individual, a Hasid. His name is Rav Mendel Feuerfass. Mendel Feuerfass was a Jew, a holy Jew, who lived in Russia and was exiled to Siberia. Exiled to Siberia like many of the Russian Jews were. And they were put through a lot of hard work and labor in very rough conditions. And Mendel was a big inspiration to many Jews that were there in Siberia. He ended up surviving, and he ended up being the right-hand man of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechuto Yagen Alein. And in the years that followed those experiences that he had, I believe he was there for a number of years. In Siberia, he came away with unbelievable stories of inspiration about his experiences there. And there was one experience that he had there in Siberia where there was a daredevil. I'm not sure if you guys know what a daredevil is. A daredevil is a guy, crazy, a guy who does like these crazy stunts, like literally life-threatening stunts, like skydiving off of Mount Everest, or I don't know, something like that. Just made it up, okay? Or like walking on a tightrope between two mountains without, being strapped onto anything above him. Okay, you do crazy, crazy things. Riding on a dirt bike from one ramp and landing on the other one. Doing crazy stunts. There's a daredevil that decided to do that. He decided, to attach, some sort of string or rope, from one building to another. And he told everyone who was there, all the slaves, the prisoners, that I'm going to walk across that rope. Everyone told him, you're crazy, you're committing suicide. He said, no, I'm not, watch me. He went up there, and he did it. Everyone was like, wow, that was like pretty crazy, pretty suspenseful. But he actually did it. He said, I'm not done yet. Now I'm going to do so with a bike. Everyone was like, you're out of your mind. Yeah, we'll do it with a bike. And again, the rope was probably a bit thicker than a little, thread. And he went, and he did so with a bike. And he did it, and he came down. Everyone gave him a round of applause. They're like, it's like entertainment for them, They're going through difficult times over there. And like some guy is coming to entertain them. It's great. Fun to watch. And then he said, watch this. And he took a little boy. And he held him in his hands. And he went with a bike from one building to the other. Everyone was cringing and so scared for that boy. And he did it. And he came down. Everyone gave him a round of applause. But after that, they all went to the boy. And they told him, weren't you scared? Why weren't you scared? You were like smiling and giggling up there. Right? Like as if you're having a great time. Whereas adults, grown-ups who are much more mature than you are, would be petrified. Why were you so at ease? Why were you so calm? He said, because the person who was holding me was my father. And when my father holds me, I'm okay. I'm good to go. I feel comfortable. So of Mendel, that was a story that he experienced there in Siberia. And when he survived, and he came and he gave a lot of sichot, he gave a lot of divrei Torah, he said the lesson from here is very simple. That when a person understands that he is being held by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're never going to be scared of anyone or anything. Nothing. That's what Shabbat is. Shabbat is a big hug from Hashem. There's never a need to be scared or to get angry or upset. Another story. There was an individual who was a high-ranking officer for an army. And he was leaving his army base and trying to, get a hitchhike, get a ride from his army base to another place. and there was a car that stopped for him and spoke, you know, said to him, hey, you need a ride somewhere? He said, yeah, no problem. He came in the back seat, and after a couple of minutes, he realized that the two people that picked him up were not people from his country. They're actually individuals from the country that his country is at war with. And they picked him up, not because they wanted to help him out. They picked him up because they wanted to take him as a prisoner. And that's exactly what happened. And before he was able to realize what was happening, it was too late. They had him tied up, and they brought him to a building where a bunch of them were. And they wanted to get some secrets out of him. They wanted to get some, and he knew a lot of, you know, confidential, top secret information. And they wanted to get out of him. They knew exactly who this guy was, and they knew what his position was, and they knew what information he had. And they were ready to torture him until he was ready to give it up. And they did that. And they tortured him day in, day out. And he wouldn't share anything. So it came to one day, the guy was on his last legs, he was almost dead. And they said to him, we're giving you 1 hour, and then we're coming back. And if you don't tell us what we want to hear, the two of us are taking hammers and we're going to smash your head wide open. And you're not going to survive. This is your last chance. And then they go into the other room. But this time they forget to close the door. And he was about to give up. And he made up his mind that when they come back, he's going to tell them. He didn't want to die. But he overheard them talking in the language that he speaks, with the accent that he speaks, about things that he's used to hearing. And he picked up, based on a few clues that he was hearing, that these two individuals that kidnapped him and have been torturing him for a few days are not really members of the opposition. They're really secret agents that are working for his own army, that were put to test, given a job to test this person's, you know, how committed and how devoted he was to his army. And they wanted to see if he was going to leak any information. That's what he picked up from their conversation. It was all a test. And right then and there he decided, what? He's not going to share any information. And they came back, and they spilled the beans. They told him exactly they weren't really going to kill him. It was all a test. That's the end of the story. Says Rav Elimelech Biderman, something amazing. What changed? What changed? Why was it that minutes before he was ready to give everything up? He's ready to spill all the beans. But a minute later, what happened? He said, no, I'm not going to share everything. It's because he knew that what? That those two people really want what's best for him. They don't really want to kill him. They're just trying to test him. He knew what was behind their actions. He knew why they were doing what they were doing. And for that reason, he mustered up the strength to hold it in and to take the beating. So he says that's exactly how it works with us. If we only understood that anyone that does anything to us, that anything that happens to us, is really an extension of Hashem's hands, nothing will bother us. Nothing will bother us. We'll be able to endure everything and anything, because we know it's an extension of Hashem's hands, and we have trust and faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to harm us. That's Shabbat. When a person lives with that mentality, it's a peaceful, it's serene, it's tranquil. That's true relaxation in this world. Connecting to Shabbat. Connecting to something spiritual. That's the only way that a person can attain this relaxation that everyone is striving to reach. So, Bezrat Hashem, should all be zoche to true relaxation.
Amen.
We say, Shabbat is Yom Shekulo Shabbat Umnucha Lechaye HaOlamim. Hashem should give us, should be mezakeh us, that we should be zocheh to a yom shekulo Shabbat umnucha l'chaya olamim, to an everlasting day of Shabbat,
Amen.
Which is olam haba.
Amen.
Should all be zocheh to live that, to experience that, bezrat Hashem.
All right.
Have an amazing night. Thank you, sir.